Well, we continue on this theme. Are we people who listen to God and act upon his word? We're going to basically center our thoughts around the person of Joseph. Yes, we're still sort of just in the Christmas period, but we can preach from this passage of scripture whenever we like, of course. And if you like a title for a message, Joseph. A person God could communicate with because he accepted God's ways and thoughts were higher than his. Very much emphasizing those verses in Isaiah chapter 55 that God's ways are higher than our ways. Sometimes he brings things about by extraordinary ways, sometimes almost seeming to contradict his own commands. I wonder whether we, like Joseph, are a person that God can actually communicate with, or whether we let our preconceived ideas get in the way of God's communication. So Joseph was a man carefully chosen by God. Very often I think that Joseph is a bit overlooked in the Christmas account. If you ever, if you've had young children and have gone to various nativity plays and things like that, it's always, I think, Mary who gets most of the attention, isn't she cute? And Joseph often stands around there doing not very much. He's almost overlooked. Often think about fathers, at the birth of their children. Oh, mother and the baby are doing fine. I've always asked my sons and my sons-in-law when they phone to tell us of a new grandchild, I've always asked them, how are you doing? I'm not telling you just to be sorry for us poor men, but you might have been up all night watching a loved one suffering as she gives birth and then the next morning having to go to work, even in these days of paternity leave. Yes, Joseph was possibly a person we contend to overlook, and yet God had to choose the person who was to be Mary's husband incredibly carefully. First of all, he had to be a person who would fulfil the prophecies of the Old Testament, through whom God could fulfil the promises. He had to be a person who had connections with Bethlehem, so the Lord Jesus, God's Son, would be born in Bethlehem. But secondly, he had to be a person who God could communicate with, and a person who would actually listen. Because as we've already said, hearing and listening are very different things. You see, if Joseph hadn't listened to God, would he have gone to Egypt when the Lord Jesus was about 2 years of age? After the wise men visited him, Joseph had that angelic visitation, saying, take the mother and child to Egypt. Had Joseph not listened, the Messiah would not have survived to die on the cross for you and for me. You see, listening to God is important. Yes, we read the portion in the book of Luke about the account of Mary, how she listened to the angel. I think one of the most important verses in Luke chapter 1, maybe sometimes we overlook it, is what Elizabeth said to Mary. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Many of us know the scriptures pretty well. Do we believe that God's word will be accomplished? Are we people after Mary's heart? Whilst we're centering our thoughts mainly on Joseph, if Mary hadn't listened and accepted God's word, the Messiah may not have been born. I mean, after all, we can never underestimate Mary's perplexity when the angel Gabriel came to her and spoke to her and told her she would be with child, because she knew she was a virgin. But all sorts of questions must have gone through her mind, having accepted this word from God. All the practicalities. I wonder, are you a person when something maybe surprising happens, you know your course of life is going to take maybe a slightly different direction? Do you, you know, in the night, as you try to go to sleep, do all the practical circumstances and outcomings tend to go through your mind? Well, they do me. I don't know about you. But Mary must have been perplexed, must have wondered how it was all going to happen. How would people react? How would Joseph, the one to whom she was betrothed or engaged, react? Let alone her own immediate family. And in her perplexity, we read there in Luke chapter 1 that she left where she was. If you look at the timings given, it's very clear she must have left pretty well immediately and gone to visit much older cousin Elizabeth. She may have been a second cousin, we don't know. But nevertheless, she obviously wanted the comfort and the company of an older believer in a similar state to her. And as she went to visit Elizabeth, Elizabeth comes out with that great statement, that great prophetic statement about Mary, who she was, the child she was bearing. And then Mary responds in that song that Mother read to us from Luke chapter 1, often called the Magnificat, very often overlooked, I think, by Protestant believers because people think it's all connected with Catholicism and Mariology. Just remember, this passage is part of God's Word, God's inspired Word. And what does Mary say? She concentrates in verses 47 and 48 on her humble state. Why should God choose me? You see, something extraordinary was happening to her. I wonder, do we realise that if we are Christians, something extraordinary has happened in our lives? Do we give the praise and the wonder to God that Mary did? So Mary, she had an angelic visitation. She was perhaps well placed to receive what was going to happen to her. But what about Joseph? You see, I wouldn't have liked to have been Joseph. Let me tell you that very clearly. Mary comes back from seeing Elizabeth for 3 months. We are certainly not told in the scriptures that before Mary told Joseph that she was pregnant, that Joseph had any angelic visitation. Yes, he had a dream after Mary had told him. We read that in Matthew chapter 1. But what was he going to think? Having been away 3 months, she comes back and tells him that she's pregnant. Well, I'm afraid my carnal mind would have jumped to one conclusion, that she must have been with another man because he knew it wasn't his child. And then he had to decide what to do. But you see, had Joseph been a man who jumped to conclusions, who acted with a knee-jerk reaction, God's purposes would not have been worked out. And as we will see in the next few minutes, he was a man of consideration. He was a man of constraint. He was a man who God could actually speak to. Yet I'm sure Mary explained all the events to Joseph very clearly. But could Joseph accept such an amazing story? Oh, come on, pull the other one. You know, may well have been his reaction. I'm just showing how my reaction would probably have been actually, you know. But we're introduced to this, the character of this man. He's not a guy who jumps to conclusions without careful consideration. And you know, I believe if we're to be people who are listeners to God, we need to be those who don't jump to conclusions, who don't react with knee-jerk reactions. We need to take the matter to a God of wonders, which we read about in Isaiah chapter 55, a God whose ways are higher than our ways. What does he have to say to us in this extraordinary situation? After all, does God have a chance of getting the word in edgeways because we've already jumped to a conclusion? You see, I think we need to realise that no one, not one of us, can become a child of God without supernatural intervention. Those lovely verses in John chapter 1, it tells us very clearly, or John tells us very clearly, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word who had become flesh, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. If you're a Christian here this morning, something supernatural has happened in your life. Do we realise that? So let's go back to Joseph now. A man of constraint is maybe our first thought. Joseph is a man who constrained himself in order to consider the situation. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20. Yes, I'm sure he had his immediate thoughts as to what must have happened. But nevertheless, he constrained himself. He wasn't a man of revenge. However betrayed he may have felt, he wasn't a man who wanted to have revenge on Mary. You see, I always feel that if we are people who are revengeful, if we take sort of have the attitude of wanting to get revenge when people wrong us, I think we're actually people who are saying, well, I would have never done anything like that, wouldn't we? You see, we are told many times in the scriptures of people who fell into temptation. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 that a way out of all of temptation will always be provided by God. Sometimes that way out is simply saying no. And very often we don't take the way out that God has provided with us. I consider a man like David. A man described as a man after God's own heart. How I would love it if God could say that of me, you know. A man after his own heart. And yet, that man was able to sin so greatly when he saw Bathsheba taking a bath, committed adultery with her, told lies, effectively committed murder. And I suddenly realised that if a guy like David could do that, so could I. You see, a person who is revengeful is not someone God can communicate with. We need to realise our own fallibility. And then, of course, the scriptures tell us very clearly that it's not up to us to avenge the wrongs that others do to us. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. You see, Joseph was a guy who considered the situation. He was a man of constraint. He didn't want to put Mary to public disgrace. He obviously thought about it. I mean, if we think about it, had Joseph decided to put Mary to public disgrace and to proclaim across the community what she had done, she could well have been stoned. Because that's what people did in those days. Sadly, in some Islamic communities, women are still stoned if they are caught in adultery. Yes, she wasn't actually married to Joseph, but betrothal had a legal status. It is also interesting just to notice on that point, very sadly, that although the Old Testament in Leviticus tells us very clearly that if a person is caught in adultery, Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 10, that both the adulterer and the adulteress be put to death. It's interesting in that passage in John chapter 8 where the woman caught in adultery was brought before Jesus. Where was the guy? If she was actually caught in the very act of adultery, they must have known who the guy was, and he wasn't brought. And sadly, in many communities where Sharia law is practiced, it's the woman who is stoned, not the man. Yes, the Sharia law is actually based the Islamic people, or a lot of the Quran is based on the Old Testament, but unfortunately a corrupted version of the Old Testament, an inaccurate version of the Old Testament, a chronologically inaccurate version of the Old Testament. But nevertheless, God's word is not actually followed. You see, Joseph loved Mary. That's the key. He loved Mary. He didn't want her to face disgrace. He had the same sort of love as the child that Mary was to bear has for you and for me. The Lord Jesus Christ does not want us to face disgrace on the day when he comes in judgment. His heart is that we should accept him as the Son of God. Believe in his name. Believe in his name means being obedient, listening to him, building our lives on his teaching, on that rock, as we said earlier on. The Lord Jesus Christ has that love that wants to save you and me from disgrace. And he went to the cross in order for that to be the case. Hallelujah. What a saviour. You see, God can communicate with people of restraint, with people of constraint and consideration. God, you know, has always longed to reason with us. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come, let us reason together. Although your sins be as scarlet, they can become as white as snow. And then Joseph was a man who was willing to consider divine intervention. We read there in Matthew chapter 1 that Joseph had a dream. What do you think about dreams and visions? Some psychologists have suggested that Joseph dreamt the dream because that's what he wanted to happen. I don't believe that. I hope you don't either. But nevertheless, what do we think about it when people have dreams, visions? Do we dismiss them? Well, I'm glad Joseph didn't. God spoke to him through dreams on several occasions. The Apostle Paul, when he was at Troas, God came to him in a vision and told him to go to Macedonia. And then we have to take into account passages like Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter was giving that sermon and bringing the telling people what had happened. And in chapter 2 of Acts, verse 17, Peter says these words. He's quoting from Joel in the Old Testament. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. You see, these things can be of God. So how do we react? If someone says to you that I've had a vision, I've had a dream, and I believe it was God speaking. Well, I hope actually we react with discernment. Discernment is the important thing. Not to dismiss it out of hand, not to accept it unquestioningly, but to test it. You see, I find many problems have been caused in the Christian church in the last 50 years through people totally discounting any sort of miraculous intervention by God. God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We need to be open to things. We need to act with discernment. We, of course, as Christians, have a great advantage, perhaps, over what Joseph. Mary ran to be with Elizabeth. Joseph, we seem to get the picture, he was a bit of a lone guy. If the Lord has said something into your heart, into my heart, we have the opportunity of sharing it with a more mature Christian, seeking their advice and counsel. Actually, if we hold back from doing that, we're probably going to do it anyhow, and it's what we want to do. If we can truly share things with other people, then we have a hope of hearing God. Is it him speaking? Is it him doing things his way? Or is it us just wanting to do things our way? I mean, after all, I wonder how we would accept nowadays some of the things that happened in the Old Testament. Hosea being told to go and marry a prostitute. And then to keep on going back to her when she was being unfaithful. Isaiah being told in Isaiah chapter 20 to run through the streets of Jerusalem naked to show what would happen to that station, that nation and that town. If one or two of our brothers or sisters in Christ told us that that was their vision of what God wanted them to do, we'd probably have a fit. We need to be discerning. Joseph accepted his dream as coming from God, and Joseph acted upon it. How does God communicate with us? Well, undoubtedly, mainly through his word. We have that great privilege of having the written word of God, the canon of scripture. But let us not write off God communicating to us and others in other means. God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Then finally, Joseph, a man with the confidence to be obedient, whatever the cost. You see, we read this Christmas account. We're so familiar with it. Well, of course Joseph would have obeyed, wouldn't he? There was a huge cost, you know, to Joseph and to Mary. Yes, we may have the luxury of sharing things with other people. Probably Joseph didn't. But what about the practical outcome working of what God had said to Joseph? Well, it's not going to put him in a very good light in the community. We know he was a carpenter. He was a businessman. Good religious people may no longer have traded with him. You see, obedience to God often comes at a cost. I always remember a plumber who used to come and service our boiler. And he knew that I was a believer. He knew I was a Christian. And on one occasion he came to do the annual service of our boiler and he said, "I've become a Christian." "Great." He said, "It has not cost me a lot of money." He said, "I no longer do jobs cash in hand." He said, "Now to all the bills I have to add VAT because they're not cash in hand and I'm losing trade. But," he said, "believing in the Lord Jesus Christ has given me such a peace of mind that it's made it all worthwhile." Following the Lord Jesus Christ, being obedient to him, can be costly. Of course, in parts of the world, it's not just the loss of money. It could be the loss of your life. It could be the loss of our marriage. It can be loss of so much more. But Joseph was obedient in taking Mary as his wife. Almost certainly out the window, any marriage celebrations. People look forward to a wedding celebration. All gone. And then the baby's born in a far-off town called Bethlehem. We're not told if any of Mary's relatives went with them. Possibly, Scripture infers not. We shouldn't add or take away from Scripture. But the thing that strikes me is that Joseph went to his hometown. And he had to look for a bed in an inn. You see, hospitality was a big thing in those days in the Middle East. It still is a big thing in the Middle East. If you go to the Middle East and you go to meet anybody, especially a Christian, they will lavish hospitality upon you. It's great. You see, the fact that Joseph went to his hometown, where there must have been relatives and friends, had nowhere to stay, shows us very clearly that he and Mary were shunned. There was a hostility towards them. And then, of course, the Lord was born in those pitiful circumstances. They continued to be obedient to God's law in the Old Testament. They take him to the temple where Jesus is named, the name Jesus, which Mary was given before she conceived and Joseph was given in that dream. You see, they went against the conventions of the day. When we read about John the Baptist's birth, Zechariah went against the conventions of the day and called him John and not Zechariah. And in the same way, people would have been surprised at this couple not naming their firstborn son, Joseph. And he was named Jesus. You know, it's not always easy to go against the customs which have accumulated in our communities and our congregations. Sometimes we're more interested, I believe, in keeping the sort of name or reputation of our own congregation than the advancement of the kingdom of God. I wonder, are we willing to consider things differently because God's ways are higher than our ways? And his thoughts higher than our thoughts for the advancement of his kingdom in this area. So in conclusion, are we people God can communicate with? Well, we thought about Joseph. He didn't jump to conclusions. He was a man of consideration. He was a man who had the confidence to be obedient, whatever the cost. But there's a few other people mentioned in the scriptures. I finish with these thoughts. Zechariah and Elizabeth, Luke chapter 1 and verse 6. They took scriptures seriously. Joseph and Mary, we can deduce that they are part of that same people group who took God's word seriously. Simeon at the temple when Joseph and Mary presented Jesus to the Lord, described in the scriptures as a devout man waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. I wonder, are we awaiting the Lord's return, and is the Holy Spirit upon us? And an old lady called Anna, God could speak to her because she was a woman who was devout and a woman of prayer. Just how available are we in the coming year? Can God communicate with you, with me, or with us as a congregation? Amen.